Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started. Good morning. Welcome to Becoming Eva. Happy Saturday.
Yes, yes. Happy Saturday, people. We caught y'all this time. We got y'all a little late. I know some of y'all was like, I haven't become an Eva today. Yeah, we snuck up on y'all. So we back at the 11 o'clock hour today. So happy Saturday, people. Y'all may have noticed we have a special guest with us this morning, the amazing Ty Scott King. Welcome.
That's the universal Jamaican dance that everybody knows.
Yes, yes, very, very true.
Thank y'all for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. We'll get into it, but I am having a fangirl moment, so we're gonna dive in. But I'm excited. I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited up in this piece. Okay, so yes, how are you doing though? How are you doing, Ty?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here on a Saturday morning with you lovely ladies.
Yes, yes. And Toya, how's your week been? Holding it down?
You know, it's on a popping in the Moore household. It's fall festival with like every activity, school, Girl Scouts, all of that stuff. So, you know, we keep it busy over here. But I'm thriving, I guess, and surviving, having fun.
Yes, you glowing. You got the glow up. So, girl, we'll take the win. Yes.
Thank you.
All right. So, for those of y'all that don't know, we are knee deep in our Becoming series. We have had the incredible privilege of catching up with some fabulous women this month. Like, I feel like we need to do like a Becoming season because we've just been like talking it up with some amazing women. And so Ty Scott is joining us today as we enjoy and talk through just the journey of evolving as women and in every aspect of life, personally and professionally. So before we dive into that, we actually are going to talk about what's trending, okay? So I got to give a shout out to the ladies today. Well, you know, we give a shout out to the ladies every day, but, you know, as far as what's trending, there were a couple great things that happened this week for some women in the entertainment industry. So first and foremost, we officially have a Missy Elliott Street, okay? Okay? I don't know about you, but I want to drive down it and I want to play, you know, gosh, which Missy Elliott song would I play? But yes, all that to say, this week, Missy Elliott was honored in her hometown of Portsmouth, Virginia. She got the key to the city. She got a street named after her, like all the things. And so it is about time. That's all I can say. I feel like a lot of people sleep on Missy Elliott because she has just impacted the music industry, particularly the hip hop industry, in just, gosh, countless ways. I mean, innovative, always outside the box, always challenging people as far as from video concepts to music production, like all of that, writing for other people. People don't know. They don't know. So all that to say, how are y'all feeling? What are y'all thoughts about officially having a Missy Elliott Street?
Cool. Like, I feel like it's one of those maybe full circle moments for her. Like, if you think back to high school and then, like, all these years later, there's a street named after me. Like, I bet it just felt like a full circle moment for her.
Yeah, I watched her a little bit of her speech, and she was like, don't y'all go get no misdemeanors on my street.
I love it. And you got to be a fan to know that
right.
She was Missy Misdemeanor Elliott. Don't sleep. So I got to ask, as an official lyricist, Miss Ty, tell us, how have you been impacted, or have you been impacted by the amazing Missy Elliott?
Yeah, of course. First of all, I love Virginia. At one point, people thought Virginia was like a second home for me because when I was in the group, we were there constantly ministering. So Virginia is just an amazing state. You know, the Portsmouth area is super, super, super dope for artists, right? So yeah, Missy has had a global impact. Like there is no, when she came out with the bubble thing,
yes.
Like, it was like, first of all, where do you go in your mind to think of something like that, right?
Yes.
So yeah, her impact as far as creating is just next level. It's like, she's always been that artist that's like, look, this is who I am. Even before she became like popular, I think she was in the group at first, it was like, this is me.
Yes.
And she broke down barriers as far as like body image, what women can do in the industry musically, like production side. So yeah, she's a beast. I'm glad she has a street, and I feel like she needs to have a lot more. Actually, she should have a room at the Capitol,
like an office. We'll see. I don't know if you know, our current president, maybe, you know, I feel like Obama would have been like, let me set you up, girl. Let me build you up. Biden might be like, well, Obama told me, Barack told me I should. So, but I don't know. We'll see. So yes, but kudos. Shout out to Missy. All right. And then the women just keep getting acknowledged this week. Simply the best. Tina Turner, Miss Simply the Best, has her own Barbie now. Like, how dope is that? Like, Mattel is creating a Barbie with the iconic hairstyle and everything. Another amazing, amazing, amazing woman who has gotten acknowledgement and is like really like being just finally getting her flowers, her roses. And I love the fact that she's still here getting her acknowledgement and getting her roses. So that's amazing to me. Yeah. So what do y'all, she's another one I'll say too, who broke the barrier. Like, I think she blazed the trail as far as I'm concerned for Black women in rock and roll, even though, you know, we've influenced every genre of music in this country. Like, she really, I feel like, blazed the trail as far as being in the forefront and like saying, hey, I can do it all from blues to soul to rock. So yeah, what are y'all thoughts about Miss Tina Turner getting her recognition?
Well, I love it. My youngest daughter, Mariah, is a Barbie fan. She collects the Barbies, and I'm sure she's gonna want that, or I will probably want it for her. You know, sometimes we get gifts because we want them to have certain gifts, but I would probably put it up like, no, you can't play with it, because when they get Barbies and stuff and they start combing the hair and, you know, making it look all like not cute anymore. They still would mess it up. It would not stay like that. It would take maybe like 3 days, and then we would be like, this was like a new looking Barbie. Like, what happened?
I love it. So
I would love to get that for Mariah for Christmas. I think the price range was like $55 or something like that. But
yeah, I still have my Michael Jackson doll.
Hey,
wow! So I need to get this Tina Turner doll and add it to the collection. Like, she, you're right. She broke so many barriers for Black women in rock and roll, but also like when I think about her story, the fact that, you know, what she came through with Ike. And just had the strength, the resilience to go through that and be like, look, I'll just take my name. Like, all I need is my name and I'll be good. Like, that always spoke to me. And then the fact that she got a British accent, I was like, okay. I mean, you know, Madonna got a British accent too, so it's okay.
You know, maybe when you hit a certain financial threshold, then your accent change. Maybe that's how it works. I don't know. We're going to see. We're going to find out. I'm telling you.
Yeah, we're all going to find out.
I'm talking like, darling, then you know we done popped off. You know we done popped off. I'm just saying. All right. So our third and final What's Trending. And these video snippets have been buzzing for a while. For those of you that may or may not know, The Usher is doing a residency in Vegas, and it's like he's killing it. Like, he's always bringing out features and, you know, recognizing and acknowledging people. I saw he recently brought up Chris Brown and Stokely from In Condition. Like, I'm having a field day because all these are my people, y'all. I ain't gonna lie. So, but anyway, so he typically during every concert, I believe, does like a serenade, you know. So he's been serenading, like, you know, famous women. There was a one that went viral where he was serenading what's my girl, Tiffany Haddish, okay? And so recently he serenaded Issa Rae, all right? The newly married Issa Rae, right? And so he, you know, it was viral just because they were like, oh my God, you could like see the energy sparking off the screen and feel the intensity and everything, you know? So I just wanna know, I tell y'all, I had a brief conversation with my husband because I ain't gonna lie, y'all, I've already put out the request to my husband, like, hey, can we holler at this residency real quick? Like, can we go? And he's like, all I'm saying is, if you get pulled up on the stage, I'm walking out. And so I was like, okay, so I guess that's off the table. But, you know, if I can hear some Usher and dance in the crowd, then I'll be good. But I want to know, what are y'all's thoughts on these, like, married women getting these, like, super, like, seductive, sensual serenades by the Usher?
Well, we lived in Vegas for a few months earlier this year, right when they were starting the residency, and ain't no conversation ever come up in our house about going. Yeah. But is Taraji married? Because I saw his serenade to her and she was all over him.
She is not married.
Okay.
Yeah. She was engaged, I think, and then that broke off. So, but yeah, she is single and free to mingle, apparently.
Okay. I mean, I'm not the married woman that he can pull up on the stage and do that, but.
Facts.
Ryan would be cutting his eyes at me like, I wish you would go up on that stage.
Don't break up a happy home, Usher. Don't break up a happy home. That's all we're trying to say. That's all we're trying to say, okay? We need to be dreaming about our spouses, not you, okay? So. Yes. But all that to say that I've heard great things about the residency. So we'll see. We'll see. So yes. But that concludes what is trending for today. We about to get it popping in these streets and learn more about the amazing Ty Scott King. So let's dive in. Toya, you want to get us started?
Yes. So before we kind of get started in your personal story, Ty, I just want you to kind of share with the Becoming Eva audience, like, what you do and who you are, just in case they don't know who you are.
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Ty Scott King. I minister the gospel through hip-hop and poetry. Heavy on the poetry, but heavy on the hip-hop too, so you're gonna get both. I know y'all are gonna ask me this, but I do want to say I started writing when I was about 8 years old, and I didn't know that it was a gift. I didn't know it was like special. I didn't know God was going to use it because I also was not a Christian. So it's definitely been a journey of becoming this this writer that people recognize for having the ability to write poetry that they feel like impacts their lives. Because I had no idea that God would do all the amazing things that he's done. Okay. I like to say, from the projects to the Pentagon, like all of that, like that is amazing to me. When people read my bio and they're like, she's been on BET and her voice is heard on Pizza Hut and McDonald's commercials, and she's been to the Potter's house, and she's been to this church and that church, and go, like, I'm in awe. Like, wait, who are you talking about?
Oh, me. You're talking about me. I love it.
So when did you first start developing a personal relationship with God, since you said you really didn't start off?
Yeah, I was in elementary school, and my mom was a very devout Catholic. And so we would go to church, but it was always kind of like, you know, holidays, you have to come with me. And then every other, whenever I go, it's up to you if you want to go or not. So we had a level of belief in our house, but it wasn't what ran our home. But I remember being in like middle school and having a best friend who was a Christian, and I started going to church with her. So for me, it was like a social place, like, ooh, I get to go and I have these friends. And I was in a school of the arts at the time for singing. And so somehow I ended up in the choir at church. I don't ever remember getting like baptized or saved or anything, but I was doing everything in the church that I guess somebody who, you know, was baptized and saved would do. But I don't remember anybody ever ministering the gospel to me. But when I got to college, I dated a guy and his mom was a pastor. And I remember she would like, you know, just kind of drop little breadcrumbs here and there. I guess she wasn't trying to be too aggressive. Mm-hmm. And I started going to church with some of my friends at college, just, you know, again, the social thing, like, okay, I think I'm supposed to go, so I'll go. And I remember the night before I moved, I decided to move from Florida to California. And the night before I moved, I was talking to a really good friend of mine and he had recently become a Christian. And I remember getting into like the biggest argument with him about like, I don't know. I was just arguing with him about the faith because I was very argumentative. I always had an argument for the majority of things. And so I just remember getting an argument with him. And the next day I flew to California and one of my best friends that I'd known since middle school was a Christian. We grew up together. But we were wild. We ran the streets of Miami, did all kind of crazy stuff. So when I got to California, it was her and another friend from college. And I knew that they were both Christians, but, you know, not having really any relationship, I guess. And got to California and I was like, look, I sat them down. I said, I drink, I smoke, I cuss. I'm the oldest. I have sex. Like, it is what it is. Yeah. And I just remember them staring at me like, okay. Like literally, it was just silent. And I was like, okay, good. We're all good here. Everybody knows what this is going to be. And we went to church that Sunday and I heard the gospel like I'd never heard it before. Mm. And I went up to the altar call. And since then, it's been the amazing race mixed with the real world of learning to know who Jesus is and the difference it makes in my life.
That's amazing. Wow. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. Hi, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Miami. So I was born in Jamaica. My family moved us to Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Common thing, right? We lived there for a few years. And then we moved down to Miami. So that's where I was raised, 305.
Got it. And then Cali is where you got saved. Is that where you went to school too?
No, I went to school in Florida.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I went to I didn't go to a predominantly Black institution, but I went to University of Florida and it was great. I had a great experience.
That's what's up. Cool. So how has your relationship with God evolved over the years? I know you were referencing like, you know, Amazing Race and Real World, but like how has that impacted your relationship with God?
Yeah, I feel like my trust has definitely gone to levels that I never thought I would trust someone that I can't see, you know? Like just having human relationships, you get disappointed, just a variety of things, right? So to come to know this God who I can't see in person, but I'm putting my whole life in his hands, I feel like that's been the biggest thread of this journey. Like it's just constant faith. I grew up in a house with, I have five siblings, so six of us. We played video games. I don't know if y'all ever played like Mario Brothers, but you know, Mario, he's like running, running, and then he jumps and that scaffold hopefully is there and sometimes it's not and he plummets to his death, right? That's the level of faith I'm talking about. Like where God is like, okay, now move to California. Even when I didn't know him, there was, he spoke to me and I moved. And then he's like, okay, now move to Georgia. Okay, now move to Alabama. Okay, now. And just, there's smaller things than these big moves, right? But for me, it's like the moves, okay, I'm making these cross-country moves. I'm making these state-to-state moves, or I'm walking through this door, I'm talking to this person, I'm messaging whoever, and it's all by faith. Like faith that as I'm running in the direction that I think he told me to go in, I don't even have 100%. I have a mustard seed of faith that this is what he's saying to do. Mm. And the fact that he just keeps providing that scaffold, maybe not a scaffold I thought was gonna be the one that I jumped on, you know, it's another one that just swung out of nowhere. That faith component has been the biggest thing. And of course, I mean, y'all are Christians. Y'all know you get to days and moments where you feel like, yeah, my faith, I don't really have it for this. But God supplies even that. Even our faith, he supplies. So, yeah.
That's you kind of walked us through some of your relationships or friendships that kind of help guide you into, you know, becoming saved and finding your relationship with God. Are there any other important personal milestones or significant others that kind of impacted your walk with Christ?
Yeah, I definitely know that, and I'm still kind of seeing how it's impacting my life. My mom passed away at the end of 2020. My mom would be on everything. Like, she would be here now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt like it didn't matter what it was from the time that I was little.
Yeah.
And if my mom couldn't be there, my siblings were there. So my sisters are probably watching right now. So I'm really kind of sorting through my emotions about how I think that's impacting me. Mm-hmm. Because when you lose someone, when you lose a parent, anyone, but to like sit with my mom as she was basically passing into eternity, I feel like that impacted my faith in a lot of ways. And I was thinking about it the other day. You know, I'm sure there are people who have lost someone and it's like, okay, well, God, why would God do this? And it makes them angry. Mm-hmm. I feel like losing my mom has given me a perspective on God that draws me closer to him, makes me more hopeful, makes me more convinced that people need to hear the gospel. So as much as my mom impacted me in life, she's also impacting me in death. And I'm just working through how, you know, the way that my faith is being changed through that. Also, my husband is a really big impact because he grew up in the church. So we have like these two different stories, you know, but he says that I helped to strengthen his faith. And I find that really interesting because there was a time because my two friends that I referenced saying, you know, they were Christians and I wasn't. There were a lot of times when I felt like they know the Christian lingo, like they know church, they know how to be.
Yeah.
And there were times where I felt like, you know, I had a disadvantage. But I heard a pastor say once, like, no, the fact that God allowed you to go that route is actually a good thing because he uses everything. So to kind of mirror my husband and I's lives and see how, you know, like sometimes we go to churches and I'm like, why are they doing that? And he knows like all the reasons. And I have the perspective from a non-Christian grower up, or I don't know the wording, to be like, no, that's some man-made stuff. You know what I mean? So we have really interesting discussions and just so many, like I can name so many names of women just women and men who have been instrumental in my life, in my walk, in my testimony. And I'm grateful because they've all added so much.
I love it. Now, I slipped early and said Ty Scott, because when I was introduced to you, it was the Ty Scott. But can you tell us how you met your husband?
Yeah, for sure. So I was, Jamaica, New York, Florida, California, Georgia, Alabama. So I moved to Alabama and I was serving in a ministry there. And our church had two locations. And so one was in Dothan, Alabama, super small city, a little bit outside of Pensacola, and another location in Montgomery. And so I was on like a pastoral team and we went to the other location. I was there to serve that weekend and my car, I would always, before going to Montgomery, they would always bring back food, my pastor and his wife. They would bring back food. And I'm like, this food is so good. Like when I start going to Montgomery, I'm going to get some of this food. So I would go into this place in Montgomery called Wishbone Cafe. And I saw my husband. He was a chef there. So I would see him making the food, but we never got a chance to talk. And one particular Saturday, I was there for church. And I went to the cafe and it was empty. I guess it was like football day. So it was weird because it was like always crowded, but this particular Saturday it was empty except for one couple that I knew. And so that's why I was like, you know, let me stay because I think I was going to get my food to go. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so he comes to my table. He's the chef. So I'm like, why is the chef coming to take my order? Like, this is just very weird. So we just sat and talked. I wasn't having the best day. So I was already kind of like one word answers. And he just immediately started dragging stuff out of me. And before I knew it, we were there for like people were coming in and he would get up and take their order and then come back and talk to me. And we just talked for a long time to the point where my friend that I was going to stay over on the weekend, she called me and she's like, are you okay? Because I'm waiting for you. And you're here. I was like, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize what time it was.
Wow.
So, yeah, when we got married and decided to leave Montgomery, there were a lot of upset people because they're like, wait a minute, you taking the chef.
Yes.
And there were people who would call me for recipes. They're like, well, now that he's not there anymore, can you give me the such and such recipe? I'm like, no, he'll never give it to you. He's never. They're still making these things. How do you think he's going to give you the recipe?
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. How long have you been married now? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Toy.
I was about to say, I bet amazing to be married to a chef. Like,
it is. I'm not even going to act like it's not. I will never act like it's not a blessing to my entire life to be married to a chef. Wow. Who is also a producer and a rapper. So, yeah, God was like, I got you.
Packaged it on up for you. I love that. I bet you ate good during this pandemic. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Period. But especially, I'm sure, because he was like, I can hone in. I can focus a little more. Like, that's what's up. So you got a shout out here from your family. So I definitely wanted to call that out. And I wanted to ask you, how long have you and your husband been married now?
It'll be 10 years in January.
Yeah.
A whole decade. Whoa.
Love it. Love it. Does it feel like it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. It doesn't.
That's amazing. Time flies when you're having fun.
Right.
That's what's up.
We got married around probably the same time then, because it'll be 11 years for me and my husband. Yay! In December.
Oh, nice. 11 years. Woo. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Wow. Okay. Well, do we have any more questions for the personal milestones before we dive into the professional?
I want to go ahead and dive in the professional milestones. You can kick it off, Maya.
I have to say, Ty. Okay. So okay, let me just rewind a little bit. So I do write and do spoken word and sing as well. And I was introduced to the amazing Ty Scott probably it had to have been the early 2000s. Yes. Now I have to do that because I just have to rewind because primarily I did a lot of performing and ministering in the church. And then, of course, you know, you have opportunities to go outside and speak or whatever. And I had to have been at an event that also featured Platinum Souls. And so I was like, who are these people? Like, what in the world am I experiencing? Because just like as a writer, you're always intrigued by people that are wordsmith, which you are, but rarely, and I say this with a grain of salt, but rarely are you just as impacted by the anointing that engulfs that delivery. And I can honestly say that I experienced like them like parallel to one another. Usually it's like either or, where it's like God is with them, but you got a little note in your head like, that was a little off. Or can you, you know, or dog, they fly, they tight, but ooh, something off about the character, or mm-hmm. Oh, did they really just do that behind scenes as soon as they got off stage? And so for me to experience that and encounter that, like it literally left an impression on my life. And again, that was almost 20 years ago. And so I've been behind the scenes just kind of following you, girl. That's all I'm gonna say. And so I was so blessed. Even before you agreed to be on our show, I think you had added me or something on Instagram. And I went to my husband like, Ty Scott, follow my friend on Instagram. And he just looked at me like, really, Maya? Like, really? because I was fanning out. I'm not gonna lie, I was fanning out. So I'm just so grateful to have you today because, yeah, it's just amazing to learn about your journey. But then I really just want to drive home the importance of the anointing, because that's what breaks the yokes. And mm-hmm. I've seen you cultivate that over the years intentionally. So just honored.
Thank you. Praise God. God gets all the glory, because the collective of women that he's brought, and I don't want to leave out the guys, but this is becoming Eva. So, you know, I want to give like the props to the amazing ladies that he's allowed to like walk with me through seasons, you know, and to help me to cultivate what's inside. So praise God.
That's what's up. So I have to ask, and you shared this a little bit as far as like starting to write at the age of 8, but not really realizing it was a gift. Did you start wanting to pursue writing at an early age, or were you just like, this is a hobby, I want to be something else? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what did you think this would be even a possibility, a career to pursue at that early age? And if not, what did you pursue?
Yeah, I had a desk in my room from the time I was
Love it.
And so writing was always a thing that I loved to do. I was passionate about, but I didn't necessarily, I don't think I knew like anyone personally who had taken that course of life, right? So I got it. I was singing in the hallway and a teacher was like, you need to be in chorus. And that's how I got into chorus. And then from that into a school of the arts. So music, singing was like the thing that I thought, this is gonna be it. If there was any focus, it was on singing. But I kept writing. I would write all the time. And so it was really more of a hobby. And when I got to California and I moved in with my two friends, I had grown up with one of them in Miami, like I said. And so she took me to a spot in Leimert Park in LA. And she was like, look, you're gonna get up there and you're gonna do a poem, or we're gonna leave you here. And we would leave each other all the time, you know, circle the block a couple times and come back. So I knew she wasn't lying. But up until that point, that was after college. So from elementary school to high school, I was in a school of the arts focusing on singing and playing the piano. And poetry was kind of in the background. And I had some MC fantasies, you know, I would mimic people. But though poetry and hip hop were not what I thought would be the things. And once I got to Cali and got on that stage and did poetry in front of people and how they respect, and there weren't even that many people there that night. It was just, I felt it. I knew it was something that I really needed to keep doing. And from there, God just started opening so many doors. But teaching was always the thing. Circling back to the desk in my room, it was always like, come here, let me show you what you did, how to fix it. And
I love it.
So I did teach for years, traditional teaching, but I feel like what I get to do from the stage and from virtual audiences and all that stuff, I feel like it's still teaching.
That is amazing.
It is. That's awesome. I think I was you used to teach, you said gifted music.
I was in a school of the arts, but I taught elementary school everywhere from kindergarten to 12th grade. And my degree was in English. So I feel like, although I do a lot of things, it's all connected to writing. So I'm grateful for that.
I love it.
I wish I could go back to 8 sometimes, because I apparently knew a lot of things that I wanted to do and be.
Look, we all thought we had it figured out at 8, girl. I'm telling you, I remember writing a little timeline, and I'm going to do this year and that year, and God was probably just laughing. But, you know, we always think we got it.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. So can you tell us how did the group Platinum Souls form, and just how did that come about? Basically, after you performed your first piece at the infamous Leimert Park, if y'all don't know, look it up, check it out. But yeah, tell us how all of that, basically how it transitioned into you performing and it really turning into a ministry that took you all over.
Yeah. So Callie started it with the poetry. I met a friend who went by the name Poetry, and he introduced me to a spot that he was going to all the time called a Poetry Lounge, which is still the largest running open mic in the country.
Yes.
And so I became a core poet there. God started giving me opportunities to minister in churches, but I was also going to like national poetry slams and traveling the country. And then after 4.5 years, right around the 4-year mark, God was like, it's time for you to move. I want you to go back closer to Florida. And so my oldest sister, who actually commented, lived in Georgia. And so I was like, God, I don't want to go because I love California. But he was like, no, I need you to go. So I moved to Georgia. And at the time, my sister and her husband only had two children. They had two boys. And I would take them everywhere with me. So within like a week and a half or something, I saw that there was an open mic in Lithonia, Georgia. And so I took them there with me. And I'd been on one project in California that had made its way across the country. I didn't even know Christian hip hop was like a big thing all over the world, right? So I get there and I'm like, oh, I give them my name. And the guy at the door was like, wait, the DJ was like, I know her. She was on such and such a song. I was like, great, thank you. So got up, did my thing, which at the time was just poetry. And I'm losing y'all. Signal.
We can hear you. Is it me? Yeah, I think we're good. But are we frozen on your end?
Uh-oh. I think I lost my ladies. No, you're still there.
Can you hear us?
Ty, you're good. We can hear you.
Hold on, y'all. Technical difficulties.
This has been amazing so far, Maya. I just really enjoyed getting to know Ty.
Yes.
I watched No Greater Love. I just watched that video. And she is just so talented.
Amazing. Amazing. And I'm telling you, just the anointing that protrudes. Because again, rarely do you find the combination of the two. And so I'm just grateful that she stays yielded to the Lord, that she's humble. I'm like, wow, God, like, that's amazing. Because oftentimes as God elevates you and gives you opportunities and gives you platforms, it makes it very easy for pride to creep in, you know, and in subtle ways even. But I'm just grateful that she stays grounded, you know. And so, and I'm sure it's, you know, due to just the incredible tribe of people that are around her. But yeah, that's so key. So key. Whew, I tell you. Well, you know what? I will say what we can do if you want to do our break for the becoming devotional and just kind of share some updates on that until we get tired. Yes. We can talk through that. It's day 22, y'all.
Yes. Day 22.
And I'll say, actually, today's devotional really jumped out at me, just talking about entrepreneurship and creativity and always looking at multiple ways to bring multiple streams of revenue into your household. Like, that's amazing. That's an amazing calling that we have as women. And I think, you know, the creativity component is key because it may not always be tied to something that you went to school for, or, you know, may even have prior experience in, but it's just something that you are good at or something you've had to figure out for yourself. And it's like, hey, this works. Let me tell somebody else about it. So, I mean, I think about you all the time with that, Toya, because you just figure out so many different things in your household and you make a little work. You know what I'm saying? You make a little turn into a lot or seem like a lot, like just from decor to just all kinds of stuff. So I love that gift that God has given us as women and really encourage everybody to tap into that. But yeah, that's what resonated with me.
I was going to say day 22 really resonated with me as well, the creativity and how she was talking about women. Well, God has given women this purpose in life and how we're willing to try new things to determine our interests and talents. And like you said, it may not be something that you went to school for, or, you know, like becoming Eva, like I was relating it to becoming Eva and how that came about. And I was like, wow, God, you really gave me the idea, like, when we were in praise and worship and just little steps at a time. Like, he has walked us through all of this. And I really love the affirmations at the end where she's talking about the questions to ponder. You're supposed to say things like, God made me in his image. I have his power to be and do so much more. My education and experience do not limit my dreams and pursuits.
Yes.
And trust are my currency and faith trumps fear. God will lead and guide me. So those are some affirmations that I'm going to continue to say daily. That has really resonated with me.
Put them on your wall. Put them up, y'all. So again, it's day 22, but again, it's not too late to join us and close out October with us. We're about to bring back Ty. I think she was able to make it back, so we're going to add her on back in. You blew up.
Yeah.
You was dropping so much. Like, they were like, okay, we can't sustain this. It was too much. You made it back though. Thank you.
I made it back. I don't know. I don't know, but I'm glad I made it back.
No worries. We just did our public service announcement for our devotional that we're doing called Becoming. So, but yes, we don't want to miss a beat. So bring us back. You were talking about you were at an event in Lithonia. The DJ recognized you, said, bring you on up. Okay. Take it away.
Yeah. So I went up, did my thing. And when I got off stage, Ricardo Flo, I was going to say from Platinum Souls, but Platinum Souls didn't exist then. Rick Flo came up to me and I don't know, we just had a conversation, very brief. Mm-hmm. And a day or two later from that event, I was invited somewhere else. And another DJ afterwards was like, hey, I'm on the radio here, Boogie Bless. He's like, I'm on the radio here and can you come on the station tomorrow? And I was like, sure. So as I'm driving to the station, I turned it on and I heard Ricardo and Aaron J. And so they were talking, I guess, being interviewed. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, that's your crew. And crew was not like a word that I used often. I didn't feel like God spoke to me like that often about many things. So I was like, okay. So got to the station. It was my first time meeting, or maybe my second time meeting Aaron as well. And after the interview, Flo and I stuck around and we talked again. He knew some of my friends from California and he was like, hey, you know, maybe we could just help each other. That was the initial thing, that we were just going to kind of maybe feature on each other's stuff, or we didn't know. We had no idea. Mm-hmm. And so shortly after that, we got in the studio. And what a lot of people don't know was, in the beginning, Platinum Souls was actually four of us. There was a female vocalist, Aaron J, who is the male vocalist and also rap, Ricardo Flo, and myself. And I remember someone asking, it went from four to three really quickly, like within the first couple months. And I remember someone asked, like, what's a poet, a rapper, and a singer going to do together? This was someone who was Christian, who was very influential. And we were like, we have no idea. We're just going to do whatever God tells us to and see where it goes. And 20 something years later, people are still talking about Platinum Souls. Our mission was 1 million souls to the kingdom of God. And he did exceeding abundant above all that we could ask, think, or imagine. Within a couple of years, it did go down to just Rick Flo and I, because Aaron J had, you know, he's an amazing singer. So everybody was trying to sign him. And we were independent, which we loved being.
Yeah.
And so we released him to do whatever God was calling him to do, but he always continued to be our friend first and partner with us on stuff. And so No Greater Love came out of that relationship with Aaron J and I, that song, and God just brought it back up recently and we won an award for the video either this year or last year. Time is just flying. So Platinum Souls, what, eight years?
Amazing.
Almost 8 years of just God flying open doors that were like, I have to tell y'all this funny story. I remember the first year I went to the Holy Hip Hop Awards. I didn't know, I really didn't know anybody then. And I walked in and it was just like the sea of people from all over the world who were coming to Atlanta for these award ceremonies. And I knew like one person who had invited me. And so I, you know, hung out with that person. And then the next year I went back as Platinum Souls. and we were like selling CDs. And I remember somebody came by, we had like a table way in the distant corner at the end that nobody came to barely. And somebody picked up the CD and they were like, cause we were doing mixtapes back then. Somebody was like, Miss T Scott, who's Miss T Scott? And I was like, oh my God. So, so the next year, going back and literally like as soon as we got out of the vehicle in front of the venue, hearing people buzzing, that's Platinum Souls, like it was just, it was weird. It was weird. It was amazing. And I feel like from early on, God taught me how to have humility as he continued to raise us up, because we would go to Virginia and everybody would know who we were. And literally the next day or the next weekend, we go to South Carolina and people are like, you can't come back here. This is for artists only. And I'm like, hey, look at that flyer. That's me on there.
Wow.
God was like, I ain't leaving no room for you to have no kind of pride and think that it's you doing this. And it's been a great journey. It's been a great journey. And after 8 years, God was like, okay, it's time for you to move on. And I didn't know what moving on, what I was moving on to. I didn't know what I was becoming. Yeah. But he was like, I just need you. I need to separate you from where I've had you, which has been a great place, but I have new things I want to do. And I never, there were so many days I didn't think that I would do bigger things and have greater, I don't want to say bigger and greater, but have more opportunities than I've had in the group.
Yeah.
And there are people that I meet now who are like, Platinum who? And that's, and I know they're not being disrespectful. They just don't know about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, God, to have been a part of something that I thought was like the thing, and for you to be like, no, I got more and more and more, but wait, there's more.
Yes.
Because you're an author too. Like you authored a children's book as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. Thank you for bringing that up. My children's book called How Lily Miss Saved the Lilliputian Tree. It's a tongue twister. But yeah, it's a bestseller, an Amazon bestseller, and just working to get it out to more people. It's about a young little girl who feels like, how can she make a difference? And, you know, just unraveling or revealing her journey of how she does that. And I released a teen fiction book a few years ago, but my first book was actually a poetry book. And that's when I left the group, I was like, well, I've been working on this poetry book, so I think that's what God wants me to focus on. So I focused on the book, put it out, and then he started having me writing. I started getting beats and I would just listen to them and start writing to them. And then I looked up one day and I was like, I think I'm supposed to put out an album.
Yes.
And then I put that out, and then I met my husband and he's a producer and we started working on other stuff. And then I was like, I think I'm supposed to put out another album.
Yes.
And I really thought focusing on the poetry and the writing the books was going to be my thing. And God was like, no, I didn't give you the ability to start rapping when I placed you in this group for no reason. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't rapping before then. He was like, I'm developing a gift in you and I don't have time for you to want to hide it. Like, I need you to do all the things.
Yeah, dog.
I need you to write the books. I need you to do the poetry. I need you to rap. I created you to be a multi-dimensional person. And I don't understand what, because, you know, a lot of times people are like, no, you just need to focus on one thing. And I want to. Some, there are many times I want to focus on one thing, but I keep hearing that voice that's like, no, focus on all the things. If somebody wants you to come do poetry, guess what? Go do poetry. If they don't want to hear about the rap part, don't worry about it. Go do poetry over here. Like, you know, I don't feel segmented. I don't feel divided. I feel like I'm doing everything God wants me to do. And sometimes I'm able to do it all together. And sometimes I'm not, but it's okay.
You preaching to me right now. I promise you preaching to me. Literally, I was having a conversation with myself yesterday, like, Maya, what one thing do you need to focus on? Because I feel like you all over the place. Like, I mean, really, really, like, and it's like, okay, God, I know you, the line you just said right now, and it, I mean, I'm not, I'm treating it like a lyric, but it wasn't a lyric, but like, literally, like, when God says, like, I gave you these gifts, like, why are you trying to hide them? Like, someone besides myself needed to hear that as well. Like, that
I needed to hear it too.
Real. That's real.
It's hard though, because you feel like some days I sit, like I just try to have like block out time where it's like, this is just my sitting time. I'm gonna sit in this chair and I'm just gonna think. This is my thinking chair. This is my praying chair, because I want to run in so many directions.
Yeah.
And so I literally just start making a list. And it's like, okay, these are the things I feel like you're telling me to do, Lord. What do you want me to focus on today?
Yeah.
And then in 2 hours, my days are varied. I work in the publishing business. So I edit books. I help people release their books. And so one morning, that's what I'm doing. And then I'm doing a voiceover, and then I'm recording, and then I'm writing a poem for someone who wants me to do something somewhere. Like, I've just had to learn, because I'm a very type A person, mm-hmm. and God knows that. But I've had to learn to just be fluid and just to go ebb and flow in the direction that he wants me in that moment. Like, sometimes it's not even day by day. It's moment by moment.
That is so good.
Wow.
That is so good. Oh, okay.
For me now, too.
Ooh, I wanted to ask you, can you talk with us a little bit about Rise, the program that you launched? And I don't know how long it's been since you've launched it, but if you could tell us a little bit about what it is and just how it came about and where you are in that process.
Yeah. So it's the Rise Up Arts Initiative. I wanted to, because I come from the education background that I have, I wanted to do something where creative writing, just a creative outlet, hip hop, poetry, just writing, whatever it might be, could kind of have a thread that could help children 3rd through 6th grade really develop their respect, integrity, and self-esteem. So that's what RISE stands for.
Love it.
And fuse the creative side, because I'm a administrative, but I'm also highly creative. So I know that there are a lot of children out there like that who have the gift to write, but they also, you know, are structured, and their parents want them to learn more about how to be respectful and what integrity really means and have that self-esteem. So I started writing this when I was still living in Alabama. So I don't know, over 10 years ago. And when I was done with the curriculum, I had a friend still in the school system, and she said, hey, you know, could I do this in my class? And I was like, I would love to have you test it out. And so I had a couple other educators test it out in their small group classrooms. And a couple years ago, right before the pandemic or right during the pandemic, it was like, okay, I should be doing this. Mm. Like, I want to get in and see for myself how this is, you know, playing out. And so it was a great opportunity to launch it then. I had 4 or 5 risers who went through the 6 weeks with me, and we had a lot of fun, and I learned a lot, and I laughed a lot. And one young lady, she was like, I don't care about writing. Like, my mom just wants me to be here. And I was like, okay, cool. Let's start. And so it was like every lesson just pulling out stuff in her that she didn't even think was in her. That was exciting to me. So I'm offering the program again now. I got my first sign up. I think I'm going to take about 4 or 5. And I got my first one. So I'm really excited about that. And it just is a good opportunity for me to also keep teaching, right? Because I'm fascinated with being a teacher. I love it.
Yes.
And also help to develop a younger generation who, you know, needs a creative outlet.
That's amazing. I know writing has been instrumental for me in processing my emotions, quite honestly. It's very, very cathartic, very cathartic. Mm-hmm. And so to know that that is a tool, that is a resource for this next generation, especially, which in my opinion, you know, they're constantly experiencing changes and dynamics and trauma and just, you know, in ways that we probably never had to growing up, at least.
Yeah.
I know that that's a resource is amazing. How can people get involved or parents get involved if they want to know more information about the RISE program or RISE Up program?
Yeah. So I'm always in my DMs, or my assistant is, on Instagram and Facebook, but also through my website, tyscottking.com. There is like a link that says Rise Up, and they can go there, learn how long the sessions are, what days are available, and how much it costs.
Love it. Love it.
And don't let cost be an issue. Like, if you want your child in it, we'll work something out. It's always room.
Okay, you know I could hog up the time and go on and on. Now I have to ask before we start transitioning out, because you are so multi-talented, multifaceted, and just gifted in so many different ways, and obedient to like follow wherever God is taking you in this season and in this moment.
I don't always want to be obedient. I just want to say that. I have to say that.
Look, we're all struggling in that, but I'm like, just the state journey alone requires a higher threshold of obedience than a lot of us have. That's all I'm gonna say, Ty. All I'm gonna say. But like, can you tell us what are some things on the horizon, and where do you see yourself in this next season, in the next phase for Ty?
Yeah. So I am circling back to the singing. Because again, God is like, look, I gave you a gift. And I always feel like I'm not a singer. I don't sing. You know what I'm saying? But people are like, don't even worry about that. Yes. Just use the gift. Yes. So I'm going to, I said earlier this year that it was going to be this year, but that was a high bar. So next year I'll be releasing an EP that has poetry, rap, and more singing. On it. I'm excited about that, already working on the songs and developing the sound. And I have a feature coming up. I've been blessed to do quite a few features this year that I'm really excited about. So please just put in Ty Scott King features or whatever, and you'll see the songs that I've been able to feature on. But I'm really excited because probably at the top of next year, I'll be releasing a feature with a phenomenal woman who I have been fanning out about for a long time. So I'm really happy to that she is allowing me to remix this song that has just spoken to me for a lot of years. Of course, I'm going to keep writing and keep ministering. Any opportunity, any door that opens, please let me know, because I'll come. I got my passport.
I love it.
Obviously, we love to drive all over the country because we've been doing that. So let us know. And then also, I do want to ask if you all would be kind enough to vote for me. I'm in this competition. My age rarely comes up because people make assumptions about how old I am, and I let them go with that, whatever. but I am over 40. So I'm in this competition called Fab Over 40. And if you go anywhere, you will, my Facebook, my Instagram, you'll see a link in my bio. If you would vote for me, I would love to win, because there are several things that God has put on my heart to do for Kingdom. And if I win, that's where the money's going to go to. And it's all outlined. Like, this is true transparency. So y'all will see what I'm going to use the money for.
Yes. Yes. We are rooting for you, y'all. Go vote. Go vote. I'm going to go vote as well. But go vote. That's fabulous.
You can vote for free. So they put the little link up there to say pay for a vote. But right under that, you can just vote for free every day. That works too.
Dope. I love it. Wow. Okay. Well, Latoya, you have anything before we dive into Noble Character?
No. We just want to know if you would like to recognize someone that has inspired you, any woman that you would like to recognize for Noble Character.
Yeah, my sisters who are watching, Judy and Tracy, they've taught me a lot over the years, and especially the last couple of years, about what it means to be women of integrity. So,
That's amazing. Give us their full name so we can acknowledge them.
Yes, Juliet and Tracy.
All right. So Juliet and Tracy, you both are women of noble character. Huge shout out to you. That's phenomenal. Oh, I love it. I love it. Whew, this has been an absolute pleasure. When I tell you, I feel like reinvigorated and energized to like go and do all the things. Like, thank you.
All the things. Just make sure you're doing all the things in the right time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yielding, listening to God and asking, okay, what do you want me to focus on right now? That's huge. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ladies.
All right. I guess we can close on out. Oh,
yes. Go. You want to remind the fans about the BE Book Club?
Yes. Absolutely, y'all. So, okay, I'm holding my book. I'm trying to get it in a shot. There we go. Becoming by Crystal Bernard. If you have not already joined us on this 31-day journey, it's not too late. Dive on in, hop on in. Very quick, very easy. Like literally we're reading a proverb a day and reading a day in this 31-day devotional and just learning more about how we can take the wisdom from Proverbs and apply it to becoming a modern day Proverbs 31 woman. That's actually the reason we're called Becoming Eva, because we believe that Eva is the restored Eve, the Proverbs 31 woman, and trying to figure out what does that look like? What does that mean? How do we embrace that in every aspect of life? You know, as a daughter of the king, as a friend, as a wife, as a mother, as an entrepreneur, as an artist, all of it. What does it look like for us to walk in that in all of those different facets of life? So if you are interested, join us. And if you already have your book or you're planning to get the book, DM us a copy of it with the book so that we can enter you in for a chance to win a little something, to win a little gift here. So, all right. But yeah, that's my spiel for Becoming.
And don't forget to grab your merch at Becoming Eva today. We got mugs, shirts, jackets, great things to support us. So go to our website at Becoming Eva today. Join us next time. We'll be having Jasmine Lachey to join us for Becoming next Saturday. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're trying to up our YouTube following and numbers. So hit the little subscribe button. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Becoming Eva Today. And we'll see you guys soon.
See you soon.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.